ஸ்ரீகுருப்பியோ நமக. குட் ஆஃப்டர்நூன். தேங்க்யூ லலிதா ஃபார் ஆர்கனைசிங் தி சத்சங்கம் டுடே. வாய் ஆர் வி ஹியர்? லெட் திஸ் பி தி க்வெஸ்சன் ஆஃப் ஃபோக்கஸ். தி ட்ரிவியல் ஆன்சர் இஸ் அஃப்கோர்ஸ் தட் வி ஆர் அசம்பிள் ஹியர் at the satsang to discuss and mutually learn about our heritage, culture, the so-called Hindu religion. That's what we shall do. But when we disperse from here, I still expect that we will still carry this question forward. Why are we here? In our hearts, not fully answered, but as a stimulating question in our mind for a start of a journey towards a deep and profound answer. That search is not just about learning anything new, but to come to a true understanding of life itself and the true realization of the self. That is the essence of our so-called Hindu religion. Of course, many of us are keen to ask questions and seek answers on a number of aspects of our heritage. Many of us who are outside India for a number of years might have given up or at least not able to completely follow the traditions of our forefathers. Many of us also have children who are born and brought up in London and inevitably engage in a multicultural life. I may hasten to add that such a situation is also true for many in India too. To them, the so-called Hindu badge may give some sort of identity, but the real value should be its inherent quality. This, when understood, brings universal brotherhood. Such an understanding is more important for us as we are truly in a multicultural living. But we need a lot more clarity about this quality. What comes to our mind when we think of India or her culture? Colors, numerous languages, a cultural melting pot of billions of people, thousands of gods in variety of forms, beautiful but chaotic buzz of activities, is it not? There are so many contrasts. Surely for a stranger to India, the whole concept of Indian way of life and the colors of the place could be quite daunting and could give a feeling of exhaustion. What had made India a melting house of all such cultures? How come the Indian soil is a birthplace or the nourishing ground for almost all religions, we wonder. So we feel urged to refresh our roots. Our children and the younger generations in these days are far more informed. They ask questions and they genuinely seek answers. They look up to the elders and ask why we do different things differently. What is the purpose of this and that, etc.? Many a times we may try some answers, but invariably declare that one has to just follow the rules of the religion. But the very word religion sets out the fuse. Religion is not a chic thing to say today. Especially for the young, it is very fashionable to declare that I am not religious, I do not believe in rituals, etc. The blame is not on them entirely. The so-called religions have had their fair share of blame in the history of many wars, political and social turmoil, and disharmony among the sects of people. But there is another side of progress too. Religions do aspire to establish codes of morality and social norms. In striving to uphold these norms, the approaches and the sacrosanct dogmas in almost all the religions make them irrelevant for the changing times, as these are perceived as unscientific and easily avoidable. These mainly cause the notoriety of religions. But sweeping away with such a wide brush of wrong perceptions could be a great risk. What is the real meaning and purpose of a religion? As Leonard say, etymologically, the word religion means to reattach or rebind, reunite. To rebind means that there is a state of separation. Something has come out of something else. So the inherent nature of the drifted something must be to merge back. Is it not? This implies that all different forms of existence are in fact from the one supreme existence. And so, by the very use of the word religion, all religions declare the same thing. One God, infinite forms of existence. So, there ought to be harmony, is it not? If the reunion is the destination, then there should be many paths to reach the destination. Why? We need choices. Your path depends on what type of journey you like. Some may want to go straight to the destination. Others may choose a roundabout way. Some may stop and take frequent breaks or detours. Some may even get into a maze of paths that gives thrill and a buzz, but indefinitely delays the final destination. So too are the religions. Each is like a particular set of paths promising a certain type of journey or experience. Our so-called Hindu religion is one such set of paths, but a special one, because it seemed to have treaded by millions of achievers before. You may then ask, why is then conflict among the religions? Although religions must guide one to the ultimate salvation or the supreme merger with the God, there are differences in the realization of such oneness, often dictated by dogmatic leaders. Many religions have established certain principles of conduct that suited the time and the location of the people that they serve. Understand? Such dogmas are so fervently held on, unchanged, even though they do not stand the test of changing times. That's why friction developed and still develops. Dogmatic religions are like the path of mace, with impenetrable dogmatic walls. They lead you into one or more directions, sometimes astray. They bind purely on unquestioning faith. Of course, eventually they too will take you to the final destination. So what about the so-called Hindu religion? I kept saying the so-called Hindu religion, mainly because there is no such thing as Hindu religion. The very term Hindu does not even exist in our scriptures. It is just a token used to identify the people who lived from the edges of the mighty Indus River onto the deep lands of South Asia. They followed a unique set of values and culture, as many scholars have proven on record. There have been a number of historic distortions, political or otherwise, that had created various and diverse images or perception of the heritage of such people, known as a Hindu religion, mainly to make subjective comparison with others, in particular, Abrahamic religions such as Islam and Christianity. If a religion is to bring all beings into one, then it cannot be based on dogmatic institutions or principles that are generated for a particular set of people only for a particular period of time. Our seers in India thought big. To them, truth must be the one, and approach to the truth must therefore be common to all humankind, no matter where they live on earth or when they live on earth. That is why they identified with Sanatana Dharma as a governing and steering principle for all humankind. A perspective view of Sanatana Dharma is what has been termed as Hinduism or the Hindu religion. This is mainly identified with those who live in the Indian subcontinent or elsewhere, but with the upheld values and cultures of Sanatana Dharma. So the essence of Sanatana Dharma, or the Sanatana Dharma Saram, is for all humankind. As Indians, we do not have exclusivity on this, but we do have the extreme good fortune to be associated with the land that gave Sanatana Dharma.